Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We need to have another sushi summit.
That was a delightful day yesterday.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was a delightful day.
Oh, man, I don't know if that place is recovered.
Did you put the ice cream?
Hey, you know what, though? I'll say this. I'll say this. Like, that was a, it was a good place, and you can tell they've got some, they got some business. You and I weren't the only ones going, doing some work there yesterday.
It's a buffet that
doesn't. I don't know why I pictured you guys walking in there and somebody saying to you, "Don't be causing too much trouble, okay?"
One plate at a time, please, sir. Literally walking through with three plates. I've got two plates in my right hand and one in my left, and I know that they're looking at me like,
Hans is over there like Red Panda at a halftime show, just
holding a stick.
Without the unicycle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So this is a buffet. It does not highlight the sushi. The sushi is just a byproduct of the buffet. But Scotty and I have found it to be to our liking.
Yes. And when we like something.
And we spend a lot of time with the sushi. I told Scotty, I'm like, because they have two ice cream options, actually, Lloyd. They have a hand scoop, a hand-dipped ice cream, or they have the soft serve, but they don't use a real thick, high-quality product in their soft serve. It's too icy, and I do not like icy chocolate soft serve. I like a really good, creamy, smooth soft serve chocolate, but not.
I was surprised that you went with the vanilla and the it looked like a strawberry in there.
So that was cookies and cream.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh,
it was. Okay. It was the cookies and cream scoop, and I topped it with caramel, chocolate, strawberry, and peanuts. And it was three scoops, and then I did have five Rice Krispie treats because those help it go down. Okay, and it is a buffet.
So what was your favorite sushi roll that you had there then?
There was one called a volcano, and I wasn't exactly sure what was in it, but that was solid.
Was that the deep fried with the chili sauce?
I don't think that was a deep fried one. And maybe it was. I don't know. I had some of all of it, so it was all.
Yeah,
really good. It
all kind of just kind of runs together.
Yeah.
After,
and again,
10 or 15 bites.
Let me just, no doubt on that. Let me just say this. Like, Hans and I, like, I think there's some sushi snobs out there. We are not sushi snobs.
No.
We're more on the quantity side than we are the quality side. But the quality was still pretty good. Like,
you're not opposed to going to your local gas station and having some sushi then, is what you're telling me.
No. Well, it's Smith's. Good.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. I'll go buy it out of
I'll do the grocery
vendor.
The grocery store sushi.
But that's overpriced.
Yeah.
$10 for one roll. You're like, really?
Place by our house has a Wednesday half-off sushi.
We paid, well, you paid, what was it, is it about 10, 12 bucks?
Yeah, I think it was.
For the all-you-can-eat?
With the tip, I think it was 30 bucks. So, yeah, it was okay. Like 13 bucks a pop.
Well, that's not too bad.
Oh, no, no. Dude, it's
no,
a steal.
That's not too bad.
Oh,
it is
a steal.
I told
steal.
You, we went and tried it out on Saturday because one of the kids wanted to try some sushi, and that was, it was like 50 bucks.
Yeah, it'll chew you up really quick. But, man, I can't stop thinking about it. It just makes me smile. To wash down that much sushi with that much ice cream, it just makes me smile. It makes me happy. I feel like I'm floating off my chair. It's so fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's
and by the way, Scotty got tired of it, and he's like, "So you're just going to keep eating?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And Scotty's like, "Oh, I got to go." And I'm like, "Well, this is awkward, but I'll sit here."
Oh, you guys had the awkward transition.
Well, no, I did have a Zoom meeting with our digital people at 3. And so I'm like, I got 40 minutes to make this work, and then like I got to go.
And I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I was still enjoying some.
So you stayed
there
eating by yourself?
I was still enjoying some wontons with some sweet and sour sauce. I did. I stayed and had another couple plates by myself.
Hey, did you find the pot stickers?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. They were underneath the grilled pineapple.
Son of a.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to go back to
that. They had a little divider. It was the grilled pineapple and then the
wontons.
The pot stickers.
Because those pot stickers are really good. I just couldn't find them.
Just let your nose guide you. You know, when you can't.
Who are you, Toucan Sam?
Man, you should see Scott and I navigate that buffet, though, man. It is just like... It's like watching a tenured Uber driver in downtown New York. Like, dude really knows his way around the place.
I was going to say like a cheetah in the Serengeti, like tracking down, although at a much slower pace.
It's like I heard somebody from the table next to us, hey, can I get a fork? And I stood up really quickly and had it for him in his possession within 5 seconds. I got that for you, pal.
It's right here. It's right here.
Sorry, it's just hidden behind the sanitizer.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right.
Levitating.
I don't know. I walk out of those places, and I'm like, it's a mix of emotion because I feel really good, and I feel like I'm in a really good mood, and then I also, inside my mind, feel really, like, disgusted with myself. Like, you made some bad life choices there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
You probably should have stopped after round number four.
Yep.
Yep. And so there's like a feeling of like, oh, this is awesome. And then also feeling like you are a disgusting human being and you need to stop doing this.
Well, I know people are like, well, then just go work out. Well, the problem is
you can't work out after something like that.
You attempt one jumping jack and you're just going to, it's all going to come up. So you just got to play it cool. You just got to live in your decision.
Yeah. And just own it and let nature take its course for the next day and a half.
It's funny though, because I can't stop thinking about it. It really is fun. It's just fun to overeat. It's so much fun.
I want to say you're wrong so bad on this.
Oh, man.
Tell you what, they had a good fried shrimp there, too, with a little cocktail sauce.
Is that a coconut fried or is that just a regular
No, just fried? A regular fried shrimp. It was really good. I mean, oh, yeah, this is like, well, never mind. I don't want to disparage the place, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Time to move on, isn't it? All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Jazz have a couple days off after the game tonight has been canceled. But I thought you brought up a really good point earlier in the show about Donovan Mitchell. He just said, look, this is a game that we needed to win, and we were supposed to win, and we went out there and we won, and won by 30. It's everything that was asked of the Jazz, they did last night. Because there's been moments in the past where those have been the games that have kind of the Jazz have stumbled with from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was not the case.
Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley again combined for 9 assists. You know, I'd like to see that number somewhere between 10 and 15 every night between the two of them. And if you get up above 15, then that's all just icing on the cake. It's kind of funny because when you come into the game of basketball from the game of football and you don't know a ton about the game, which is the angle I came from. I was a wrestler and football player, and I jumped into the game. It's been 16 or 17 years ago now, trying to really understand it. It takes a while for you to truly understand the importance of the assist. The timing of the pass, the direction of the pass, like all the things that come with it, whether the pass is in a pick-and-roll setting or the pass is off a screen or the pass is off. There are so many ways to look at that assist and the timing of it. And what I love to see Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell grow in that assist.
Yeah.
I actually think that there is some correlation between Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley and that assist numbers and wins. Now, I'm not a numbers guy, but I bet you could go directly to it and you could say, outside of points, these assists are so important. And how good is Mike Conley playing right now?
Really good.
I know he was only 12 points. He was 4-10 last night. He was 500 from the three-point. He was 3-6, which is fantastic. But what I love from Mike Conley right now is you're seeing his continuity. You're seeing that flow and efficiency in passing. Whether it's an alley-oop or some type of finish at the rim for Gobert, or it's in a pick-and-roll situation, Mike Conley is making really good decisions in passing and shooting. If Mike Conley can stay on this path, this team's going to grow exponentially. Yeah. This team's ceiling, we don't know it yet. If Mike Conley continues to do this, we don't know this team's ceiling yet. Because he's only going to improve his percentage. Boyan started out the season kind of rough.
Yeah.
Boyan's only going to improve his percentage. You need to go to Royce O'Neal and continue to beg for more from Royce O'Neal defensively. Just beg for more.
Yeah,
whatever you can give us, all the energy and passion on that side of the ball, you've got to give it to us defensively, and you've got to be able to get in front of the guard. You've got to be able to get in front of LeBron James when they see LeBron on the court. You've got to be able to get in front of some of the great guards and great backcourt scorers that the Jazz are going to eventually see. You're going to need that from Royce in order to get a win against even Denver. You know, when Denver shows up and you've got that great down low presence and Murray's out there knocking down, you've got to have some influence on the outside. And that's what Royce O'Neal has to be. But I think that the ceiling is really unidentified at this point for this team.
Well, I mean, honestly, look at the standings right now. They're tied for second in the West and a game out of first place. So if there's a time in which you look at this team and their capabilities, if they continue to win at this clip, they'll definitely be a top four team in the Western Conference. And I just don't know how anybody can deny this. This is a talent. This team has the talent of a team that will be that is certainly capable of being a top four team in the West. And frankly, a team that I think can challenge the Clippers for the two spot or any other team for the two spot. Like, that's the kind of talent you have on this team. Now, will they stay healthy? Can you handle the COVID issues? That's going to jumble your record up and down a little bit, but you're not the Lakers, but you're not far off from number two.
Not far off, man. And when this team is playing inside what Quinn is asking them, and they are somewhat efficient on the perimeter. I don't need them to be 53.3% from three every night. You could knock 10% off that, and I'm still extremely pleased. I mean, that still would lead the league. And this team could be in a game and beat any team that they face with those types of percentages. And if the ball is moving the way Mike Conley and Donovan are moving the ball, and if Royce O'Neal can give you just a little bit more on exterior defense against some of the better scoring guards, then this team we don't know the ultimate potential. I remember going back to when we started this show going on 8 years now, right?
Yeah.
Going on 8 years.
7 years in May, 2014.
So it'll be 7 years in May?
Yeah.
Okay, so 7 years ago when we started the show, it was right about the time that the Jazz drafted Gordon Hayward, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty close to?
When we started the show?
Yeah.
When they drafted Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
No, Gordon Hayward was drafted in like 2009, 2010, around there.
Okay, so
it was when you and I started doing the show when he got the big extension, and we did the honk if you...
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets the extension... And I had a conversation with Jerry Sloan about Gordon Hayward, his extension, his presence, and that Jazz team at that time. An off-the-record, away-from-the-mic conversation with Jerry Sloan. And I asked Jerry, what's it going to take for this team to be a championship team? And he said, it's going to take 5 or 6 years of this group being together.
Yeah.
Well, right now, we're seeing the nucleus of this Jazz team with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles. There's a nice three-man nucleus that has been together for, 4, 5 years?
Yep.
So they've built this together. Now, you've got additions like Royce O'Neal. He's been around with this group for a while. So I'll never – like every word that Jerry Sloan ever told me in regards to basketball, I will never forget it. And it's almost like it's the gospel of basketball for me. And so anytime I refer back to some of the principles of my understanding of basketball, I want people to understand it's Jerry Sloan's principle. And he told me you have to have teams together for periods of time with continuity and understanding of each other. Well, this team has had that now.
Yeah.
The nucleus of this team has had enough of that. And Quinn Snyder's had enough of it. Quinn Snyder's been around. He's not a new coach. There's not new pieces. There are some kind of new pieces. But even Mike Conley now is in his second year. Bojan Bogdanovic is in a couple of years. And so I'm really excited to see through 72 games where this team can hit. But if they can stay healthy, I'm telling people right now, if they can stay healthy, this team is going to compete in the postseason with anybody in a 7-game series.
you can nitpick on a lot of things, and I think that's okay to do because you want this team to get better. Like, you know, Donovan's got to shoot the ball better off the dribble. Like, I mean, he's an elite catch and shoot shooter right now. Needs to shoot the ball a little bit better off the bounce. All right. That's something to work on.
By the way, last night it felt like in mid-range, in paint shooting, it felt like Donovan was a little bit better there.
Yeah. And then you got Boyan, who's had his struggles, and I don't know if he's healthy or not. Jake and Gordon had an interesting argument about this, whether or not you let him play through the injury or if you just shut him down. How the Jazz are handling Boyan is probably how I would handle him, too. If he feels good enough to go, let's let him go and then try to figure out how he can get better. So there's a lot of little things, but at the end of the day, what does this team need to do? And I go back to the you asked David Locke on Monday, or I guess it was yesterday, you asked him, what did the Jazz do well? What can you count on every night? And he said, this is a shooting team. And my thought was, when he said that, I'm like, well, they're not really shooting the ball that well, are they? Well, if you look in the league right now, and I pulled the numbers this morning, the Jazz are number 5 in the league in three-point shooting percentage. They're number 3 in the league in total three-point shots made. So if you're top 5 in the league, then, yeah, maybe you are a high-level shooting team. It seems like there's nights when it goes really well and nights when it doesn't go well, and maybe when you add those up, it gives you that even number. But at the end of the day, maybe a little bit more consistency, but the Jazz have shown the ability to do it. They obviously, the way they ended last year, they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country or in the NBA. So, you know what? This is who this team is. They continue to shoot the ball well. They're going to be right there with anybody, especially with the defensive presence of Donovan Mitchell. Of Rudy Gobert is what I meant.
Got to shoot the ball extremely well, though. But we're seeing these guys hit at a pretty good pace. Like, Mike Conley's been pretty consistent on the perimeter.
Yep.
Maybe he's had a bump or two. But Mike Conley's been nice on the outside. Donovan Mitchell was nice on the outside last night. Boyan was finally fantastic, which we've all been waiting to see. But they've got to hit the shots. Because one worry I have with this team is to get into some type of transition battle with a running team. That's one issue I've got with this team. Getting into a running battle with a team in transition might be an issue. But when these guys can position and when they can drive the paint and fire to the outside and hit, it is incredible. And then Rudy Gobert can go down, get himself defensive positioning, and get set and ready for a team coming down his way. Problem is, you miss and Rudy can't get in position, and transition is brutal on this Jazz team.
Yeah.
Can be.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still shocked that they beat Milwaukee, because Milwaukee can move the court. But what did they do against Milwaukee? They hit 25 threes.
Yeah.
I believe a franchise record.
It was.
And then 24 last night, nearly matched your franchise record.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. As we get a chance to chat with Andrew Reinhart once again from Wasatch Medical. Andrew, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. Let's talk about the free assessment. You call right now. You schedule that free assessment. Again, absolutely free. What are our listeners going to find out there as they may be struggling with ED?
Well, if you're out there struggling with erectile dysfunction, the assessment is critical because it's with a medical doctor. He's going to look at your medical history. He'll conduct a blood flow ultrasound to test your blood vessels. Guys have had their blood drawn and tested 1,000 times, but I bet you've never tested your blood flow. Really cool. And that's what erectile dysfunction is. It's blood flow. We're going to be able to look at it, maybe give you some recommendations to get your ED reversed without the treatments or with the treatments. We'll be able to tell you everything you need. And like you said, it's totally free.
What about what's the value on that? About $300-$400?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few hundred dollars in value. And then there's also a little special gift that I'll tell you, this is worth, if you have no intention of doing the treatments, this is still worth the trip. It produces instant results in the bedroom, and we're going to throw that in free as well to, you know, kind of just help improve things, and you'll start to see what those treatments can do for you.
As you mentioned, it's a blood flow issue. It's no needles, no surgery, and no pills. This treats the root of the problem.
This treats the root of the problem. The pills are a symptom reliever or a Band-Aid for erectile dysfunction. The acoustic wave therapy that we use, clinically proven by even Cambridge, to repair damaged blood vessels so that when the timing is right in the bedroom, the blood flows where you want it, when you want it.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Wasatch Medical right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Number one. The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, hope you're having a good afternoon. Well, it's still morning, I guess. 11:30. Close. All right. All brought to you by Zero Res. Call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. You can get three rooms of carpet clean for under $90. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376.
Love Zero Res.
Yep.
They have helped me many, many times.
Me as well.
If you've got a nasty pet stain that you can't get out of the carpet, they can get it out of the carpet.
Buster couldn't get outside quick enough.
Yeah.
They're there for you.
Well, and, you know, dogs carry grease, especially like labs, shepherds, and they'll sit in your carpet or you'll have like a bed for them in a bed area, and you'll have all kinds of grease and dirt ground into the carpet. They get all of that out. They got this chemical that they put on it, and it just pulls it all right out.
You know, you guys always want me to get a dog, but you talk about some of the things you have to deal with a dog. And it doesn't sound really that appealing.
Well, not everything's pleasant.
No, you take the good with the bad.
But
it happens.
But the good outweighs the bad. Like, you might have a dog jump off your patio and impale itself with
some rebar.
With a fence post.
Yeah. With a fence post. And that's the bad. And that's when you're getting ready to have a baby. And then it's really bad.
Like, that's
and then you got to leave the hospital and you got to go sleep with said dog, so you make sure he's good.
That's an $800 bad.
I mean, it doesn't happen a lot.
$1,000 bad? $800 bad?
Might be north, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. It was under 1,000. It wasn't good, though. It was bad.
But the
Wait a minute. So your wife's in labor, and you have to leave?
No. I think we had our second about a week later, but he had all the stitches and the cone, and so I had to then, you know, leave the hospital when normally I'd probably just stay there. I kept having to go home and be there with the dog at night when normally I would probably have been at the hospital.
Because the dog needs your comfort.
He
had a drainage tube, had to make sure it's not getting all over the place.
Yeah.
And
that allows the infection to drain out of the wound.
Sleep on the floor.
I'm not gonna lie, this sounds like the fourth circle of hell right now.
Oh, but man, I love that dog.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Gracie's got a little hernia, and she has to go in and get her hernia fixed. And that's going to cost me. But
the dog's like 3 pounds. How do you get a hernia when you're that small?
I have no idea. It's a little belly button hernia.
How did you know? Like, was she acting weird or something?
Oh, no, you can feel the bulge.
Well, if she's not looking like she's in pain, then just let it go.
Well, I don't want that bulge to, like, pop and have her intestines spill into her.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, and by the way, I am not in any way, shape, or form discouraging you guys from doing any of this. Mm-hmm. It just seems like there's a lot of heartache that comes along with owning a dog.
Well, there is. Is there not heartache with your kids?
Well, yeah, but...
Okay.
But...
But...
I'm just saying, like, the love you have for your dog, it's worth the heartache you're going through. That's all I'm asking.
The comfort that they provide.
Okay, then I totally respect that.
The comfort that they provide. Oh my gosh.
I mean, when Maximus puts his head on my chest, and when I'm in bed, maybe flipping on a show or something, and he just looks at me.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep. It's the best. What do you got for the good, buddy?
Well, Utah State adding to their roster. Salt Lake City native Mason Knight, who played high school at Judge Memorial, is transferring to Utah State for his final season of college football. Had been at Liberty the last two seasons, appeared in all 11 games, helping the Flames to a 10-1 record, including that bowl victory over Coastal Carolina.
Good for him.
As a junior in 19, he played in three total games. 6'5", 300-pound offensive lineman. Knight also played 2 years at Ventura College in California for the 16 and 18 seasons. He spent the 17th season with the Arizona Wildcats, and he helped that Ventura team in 18 to a 11-2 record and a berth in the CCCAA state championship game while earning all-conference honors.
Wow, so he's been around
a bit. Yeah. Junior college to Arizona, back to junior college, then to Liberty, and will play his final year at Utah State, where they need some help on the offensive line. Carter Shaw. Yeah. Was a offensive lineman that has decided to enter the transfer portal.
First thing I'd do if I went and took over in Logan,
yeah,
figure out what I'm doing up front.
Yep, I couldn't agree more on
that.
The
coach, if I've got to go to the portal, like I think we're going to see probably more come from the portal because Utah State has lost some offensive linemen.
Yeah, well, Utah State, and by the way, a couple news and notes if people have not heard, Devin Tompkins, probably their best playmaker, entered the portal, has decided to return at Utah State. That's a huge coup for them, being able to get him to come back. Great playmaker, and I think he'll be a good fit with this offense. Also, Cash Gilliam is another player who was in the portal. He'll be coming back to Utah State.
So did the coach come in and just recruit him back? Or?
I would assume so. Said, hey, look, they hopped in a Ferrari and said, we're going to go get him back.
What do you do when they go to the portal?
Hey, go get him back.
Get him back.
So I and they've added some nice players from the portal and graduate transfers, so they're really retooling that roster up there. It's been a really aggressive push by that coaching staff up at Utah State.
Good for them.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, pretty bad situation going on for the BYU men's basketball team. One of their forwards, Wyatt Lowell, has suffered an Achilles injury, and it sucks for him because he was just getting back from major shoulder surgery last summer, and Coach Pope has now confirmed it. It is, in fact, a ruptured Achilles. He tore it during the loss to Gonzaga, and according to Coach Pope, he said, it's how it happens a lot of the times, a non-contact play. It wasn't anything explosive. He was just changing directions. So they lose one of their forwards in Wyatt Lowell to a ruptured Achilles, which I can deal with a lot of things. Like I can break my forearm, dislocate my shoulder, you know, deep internal bruises, maybe even dislocate a kneecap, maybe tear an MCL. I could do those things, and I'll deal with those things. One thing I don't want to do is tear an Achilles. I don't. That is a miserable injury. I watched my dad go through it. I think my dad was probably mid to late 50s at the time.
Yeah.
And complete rupture of the Achilles, and it was a horrible thing to watch him go through.
Wow.
He's the toughest man I know, and it was a problem. So watching these athletes that are at their peak conditioning go through it, it's not right. And that's a horrible one for Wyatt to have to face.
Kevin Durant seems like he's transitioned pretty well with it. And hopefully he's the kind of guy where he doesn't alter your career. We all thought it would, but so far he's been off to a pretty good start of the season. I would say, though, that for most people, you're never quite the same after an Achilles. There are some that are able to bounce back, but there's some that no matter rehab or whatever kind of conditioning or program that you have back where you're just not quite the same.
Never the same. Yeah.
All right, Hans and Scotty, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
So James Harden addressed the media, and James is just ready to call it quits.
I love this city. I literally, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
So, yeah, thanks.
And then he got up and walked away. He answered two questions. That was kind of the close to the second question. And the question wasn't even, are you going to continue on? That he kind of let himself down that path and decided he was going to close out that interview with, I've done everything I can. This thing's not fixable.
The Rockets just aren't good enough.
So
I will say this. This is why people sometimes get really salty with professional athletes.
Understandably.
Like I get this. Like I will have players' backs 9 out of 10 times. This is the complaint people have when Harden, and let me pull up his salary right now. And this is just average Joe Schmuckatelli out there. When he sees a player that he's bought the jerseys from, he goes and watches the games. It's his kid's favorite player. And you just want the guy to just bust his hump out there and represent your city and represent your team.
Even if we don't make it to the championship.
Even if we don't. And James Harden is making, $41 million. He'll make 44 next year and 47 the million after that.
Okay,
47 million after that.
So he's got 2 more years after this on
yes.
the contract?
Yeah, the third year. So 41, 44, and then the third year is a player's option, which I'm sure he'll opt out of.
So if I'm doing my math right, he'll be 33 at the end of his
– Is he 30 right now?
31, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're going to still – so whoever takes this problem child, you're going to be having to extend him or offer him another max contract.
Yeah. He'll be $50 million plus after that.
The other thing that you're getting with this guy is a complaint. A guy that plays half of the game of basketball. Now, when he engages, I guess he does some things defensively, but he only wants to really play half the game of basketball.
And he's a guy, too, that will want to dictate your travel schedule because apparently the guy likes to have a good time in all the cities and wants to spend more time in some cities and less time in other cities. And because you're paying him $41 million and he's one of the best players in the NBA, you have to, if you want him to be a part of your team, you probably have to give in to some of those demands of his. And I understand why there are some people that get really salty about the NBA when they point to players that act like this, that's making $41 million and says, this team isn't good enough, I want to leave. I get it. I totally get that.
Could you imagine being John Wall?
Well, you see what John Wall said last night?
No.
Said, he goes, it's really hard when not everybody is buying in. So, essentially throwing shade at Harden, saying like, yeah, look, I want to win. I want to, and he's making the same amount of money. He's making $41 million too. He goes, but I want to win. I like this city. I like this team. I want to win here. But it's really hard when not everybody, wink, wink, that guy over there, isn't bought in.
Well, they built him some really good teams.
Yes.
Some really good teams.
Harden?
Yeah. I mean, the Westbrook one. I mean,
unique.
They've made some things that were, but the teams were good, and he's going to turn into another player that just wants to latch on to some sort of power, super team, because he couldn't win it by himself, or because he couldn't win it. So,
this is the kind of stuff that rubs people the wrong way, and it really has a negative effect to the overall popularity of your league. And I, like I said, there's a lot of times where players do things and it gets people upset. And I say, well, look at it from their perspective, take a step back, try to see through their lenses. I can see where they're going with this. This one, it's bad, and he'll get what he wants. He'll get traded to a team that he'll want to go to.
And the team is desperate for anything.
And so it works. And that's the problem, is that it works. Like, he'll be able to go wherever he wants to go, and the Rockets will get pennies on the dollar coming back. And so that's kind of the way these things play out.
He'll end up in Minnesota because Minnesota is always looking for that flash. I think, Scotty, I think that, well, we go back to that earlier conversation we were having. I was talking about how grateful I am that James Harden isn't in this market or Kyrie Irving isn't in this market. I think Jazz fans do need to take a step back and look at the personalities that they have on this roster and be appreciative that this is who you get to watch and deal with, because you're not going to get this from Donovan Mitchell. I know that this may be a representative of what's going on in the front office, and I don't think you'll get that type of negativity coming from the Jazz front office, because I guess Harden he's had conversations with Fertitta about moving him on down the line in the past. But I'm just glad that we aren't dealing with this. I would have a really hard time controlling some of the things that I was saying about a guy in this market if it was James Harden in this market.
Yeah.
And having to watch it up close and personal and watch Jazz fans basically lose money from it.
Yeah.
Because you're spending your money on nothing. A guy that's not showing up night in and night out. A guy that has put on 30 pounds. James Harden's big right now. He's really big.
Did you hear the I
did.
It was like, well, it looked like he had a good lunch earlier today.
Yeah, what is he? What was that guy?
Like, he was a color analyst for the
was it a national broadcast?
I don't think so. I think it was for the who were they playing last night? I think it was for the opposition of who the Rockets were playing. Anyway, he just kind of subtly slipped in and goes, "Here's James Harden, lead scorer. Looks like he had a good meal earlier today." It's like, ooh.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
The Lakers beat him up good. 117-100.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I was reading this morning was James Harden's output is just atrocious since returning. Let's see. I didn't put it in the notes.
But maybe it's time for Houston to move on.
Well, the Rockets have lost 4 of the 5 games since he's been back.
See what you're not getting the effort from him now.
You're not getting.
He's done.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, this guy.
He was 1 of 6 from 3 last night.
You know, he will essentially dictate his effort, which is going to make you worse as a team when he's out there on the court, and it just makes the entire thing really difficult to try to put together.
He has officially become that cancer in the. In the locker room. Yeah.
He is currently shooting 34% from 3.
Not great. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, 1146. Whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show. With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
You know, as the NBA talks about how to proceed with this season, I don't know how hard this would be to pull off, but how about extend the roster to 20? They're trying to figure out what to do with the G League anyway. Let them be alternates ready to roll. You'd have to set aside some salary cap rules, set other parameters, like these aren't vet minimum guys. Figure out what to do. You already bumped the roster to 15. Bump it out to 25. What difference does it make? Just make sure these guys have enough bodies they can pull it off.
Is putting on a game with those kinds of players really better than not playing the game at all?
I hear what you're getting at. I think the game being played is more important. How often would you get down to player 18, 19, 20? I would guess it wouldn't be all that often.
I certainly hope not.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, the Price is Right is on here on the studio. And I kid you not, like, growing up, being sick and staying home from school.
Mostly faking.
I watched a ton of The Price is Right.
I did too.
Loved it. And there is not a game show on the planet that I would rather be on than The Price is Right, because I love the strategy of it. But I would never, ever be selected, nor would I want to, because you have to act like a complete jack-a once you're up on stage. jumping up and down and waving. I'm sure they do. And they're like, hey, we want people to be out there and be excited and ready to go. I'm like, all right, I just want to focus in. I don't want to talk to Drew Carey. I just want to focus in on the stuff. I'm not going to jump around and look like a complete moron.
Don't even ask me my
name.
Do you
feel like it's more? It's like that more than it used to be?
Seems like it, yeah.
I feel like it didn't used to be as much like that with Bob Barker.
Well, he's going to – Drew Carey called me up on stage. The first thing I'd do is pick him up and start military pressing him and just, you know, put him above the head and start throwing him in the air. And then eventually they'll be like, all right, this – we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
They might actually like that for the theatrics.
We need somebody to go over the top. I'll, like, accidentally drop Drew Carey on his head, and then it'd be like, well, we can't have these guys. I don't know. It used to be kind of exciting. I mean, back in the day when we'd watch Scotty, somebody get their name called in the audience, and they'd throw their hands up and wiggle their behind all the way down and screaming and yelling. And
I had a friend that got all the way to the Showcase Showdown.
No, really?
He got a truck. He got like a Ford like Ranger. This was just barely out of high school. Mm. The taxes on that, though.
Oh, yeah. No. Man. You might as well just turn around and sell the truck. Yeah.
Shirley Johnson, you remember Shirley Johnson? She was Lavelle Edwards' secretary.
Oh, yeah. I know the name. I don't know if we ever met.
Her assistant won the showcase.
No kidding.
Yeah. And she was the assistant while we were there, and she won it. It had a car and a trip, and you're right, Lloyd. It was not good.
You're thinking, yeah. And then you see the text, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it wasn't.
God, can I not win?
Like she had to sell most things to keep one thing.
Hey, you announced yesterday that you wouldn't be, and we'll get to Whole World News here in a second, you would not be surprised if there was another player added to the running back room at the University of Utah.
Yeah.
Well, once again, you're pretty much spot on. As Chris Curry, 5'11", 200-pound running back, announced on Twitter about 20 minutes ago, that he is transferring from LSU and will be at the University of Utah.
Huh. Well, go figure, man. You know, sometimes
you suspected that he might be an SEC team, I think.
Yeah, you did.
I think you mentioned that.
Freaking Hamstradamus again over here.
Every once in a while you hit, you know? You throw some things out there every once in a while you hit. So.
Yep. That's why you should be on The Price is Right. $1, Drew. $1.
Oddly enough, I've done some film research on this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, just randomly going throughout the internet, and like, oh, let's look at this guy.
Just went through some different guys in the portal, and I did a little bit of film on this guy, and Utah's got themselves another possible big one. He's very good. The two that they've just brought in, this one from LSU, the one we talked about yesterday or the day before from Oklahoma, these guys will come in and compete. These are big-time backs. And it'll largely come down to their attitude and their way, the way they adjust to Utah and Kyle Whittingham, and who can kind of handle the pressure cooker. But that's a really good get for them. Yeah. Very explosive.
By the way, Whole World News brought to you by EliteWorks. Do you dislike your website? Is it costing you money? Both, is it too expensive, and are you not getting the leads and the service you need out of the website? Well, EliteWorks is here to help. Are they still offering free website?
Free website rebuild.
Always get nervous because I want to double check on that.
Free website rebuild. All you got to do is call 844-523-2777. You've heard us talking about EliteWorks. It's time to take action. Call them now, 844-523-2777, and get those website woes fixed. Scotty, have you ever wanted to own a bed and breakfast?
No. No.
Yeah, have you ever been to a good bed and breakfast?
Yeah. There's a couple that Jenny and I have been to that we enjoy a lot. We enjoy just, you know, the whole atmosphere of the, it's a little bit cozy, but I would not want to run and operate one, no.
Have you heard the Lizzie Borden story, the double massacre in Massachusetts back in 1892? It's actually it's probably the most famous unsolved murder in our country's history. And 2020 just recently did a whole thing on Lizzie Borden and the death. So Lizzie Borden, at the age of 32, was still living with her father and her stepmother. Mm-hmm. Both her father and her stepmother were found murdered in the front room of what is now known as the Lizzie Borden Bread and Breakfast. And they weren't just murdered. Like, it was
pretty gruesome.
It was horribly gruesome. It was done with a big old butcher knife, and it was gruesome. And it, the home in Massachusetts has become a very famous bed and breakfast. And it is currently on the sell block for $2 million. The guy that owned it is wanting to retire. So it's not like it's not making money and it's not working. And it's not just a bed and breakfast. It's also a museum. It's a museum that kind of highlights this unsolved murder that's been unsolved, you know, for however many years. Be
130 years
or so. And yeah, it is. It's creepy. Well, apparently, so Lizzie Borden stayed in the house and she lived the rest of her life in the house after these murders.
After she was acquitted.
Yeah, after she was acquitted. Because she was put on trial and they could not prove her guilt. She lived in the home and then passed away in the home. Well, people claim that all three of them still dwell and haunt the place.
Oh, boy.
So you can go stay and be haunted and hang out in the museum and then catch a nice breakfast in the morning.
Fun.
Be haunted and then have a nice egg white omelet in the morning.
So it's crazy. I've got a few things that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I would give my left nostril to...
And you're proud of your nostrils, too.
Yeah. I'd give my left nostril to take over this bed and breakfast. I would freaking love to take... And just be the hostess with the mostest ghostess.
Oh, boo.
Was that a pun?
Yeah. Boo to both of you.
Boo to me? What did I do?
Both of you.
Said boo.
I know.
Boo. All right. Well, I would love to own and operate this bed and breakfast. Now, it's gruesome. And the murder's gruesome. And it is unnerving to think that, you know, what took place in that place.
You want to bring OJ as the maitre d' at breakfast? What else you want to do to really... spice this thing up.
Annie Wilkes pushing the serving tray down the aisle. Every once in a while, I think about her. I'm fascinated. You know, I think it's close to New England, or if it might be downtown New England. I know it's in Massachusetts, but I can't remember exactly.
I know that, Mr. Man. I'm not stupid, you know.
Where it was located. Oh, man.
Fall River, Massachusetts.
You have no interest in
No. I want no part of this. No.
Lloyd, does this interest you at all?
No. There might have been a time back in the day that I might be a little more interested in that, but no, not anymore.
Am I?
You're out there.
Yeah, no, you're on your own on this one.
I mean, you get that one, Janis Joplin's hotel room that you like to go stay in or something like that.
Every time I go to Hollywood.
Yes, that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, I need to see the books on it.
It's like, the hotel room she had eaten.
If this thing's really profitable, then you probably have to look at it. I'm not going to stay there, though.
Well, you know, owning and operating a bed and breakfast is a lot of hassle.
I know.
That would be a lot of hassle. But I don't know. It just seems so romantic to me.
No.
I've always been interested
in... Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Easy.
Staying in the home of a double murder... can't really strike feelings of romance.
Not staying in the home, but owning and operating it. It's kind of
owning the home where there were two homicides.
This is where Hans tells us, I'm in love with love. I love love.
She just loved her parents so much.
No, she was acquitted.
You know she did it.
I don't know that for a fact.
She loved them too much.
Yeah.
And I just love love.
I do love love.
All right. I don't know how to transition into this one, but joining us now, Andrew Reinhardt from Wasatch Medical. And Andrew, if there's been some of our listeners out there that have struggled with ED issues, now's the time to get it taken care of because it doesn't get any better on its own.
Yes, that is right. We are helping so many guys with erectile dysfunction. And that's not just, you know, a guy in his 90s. We see younger guys every day that kind of want to top off their drink, so to speak, maybe just improve the frequency in the bedroom. If this sounds like you, the treatments at Wasatch Medical Clinic could be the answer. The acoustic wave therapy we use, FDA registered, clinically backed by 42 clinical studies now showing we can regrow blood vessels, we can improve blood flow, we can reverse erectile dysfunction. And I'll tell you, that's a breath of fresh air. Nobody wants to take the pill. That is a lifelong prison sentence that you'll be doing forever. This can reverse that. It goes to the root cause of the problem and gets you back to those younger years in the bedroom.
The best route, you suggest call now and get the free assessment. No, look, there's no risk. Just find out what's going on.
Yep, this is a lot of value today. Call us right now. The assessment, the exam, you'll spend some time with our medical doctor. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound. It's all free. There's no charge. There's no obligation. We'll even throw in a little gift just for making the trip that is proven to produce instant results in the bedroom. I've never seen that fail, by the way. So call us now. Get your ED taken care of. Get the relationship back on track. It's all free.
Call right now, let's get you taken care of on that free assessment. Again, no cost to you, 801-901-8000. No needles, no surgery, no pills. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.